Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. God is good all the time. We do serve a wonderful Savior and a great God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yesterday, it was Independence Day, and I did listen to a lot of noise that was coming when people were playing with fireworks. And people were having a lot of fun to celebrate independence. But that independence came with the shedding of blood. When I was in my house around 10 p.m., when the fireworks were going on, I wondered whether a lot of people know how much blood was sent, was spilled during the American War of Independence from the British. A lot of people were killed, and that's the reason why we do celebrate, we give honor and praise to those people who lost their lives so that we can attain independence and so that we can have what we have today. The same applies also when you go into the religious realm or in the Christian world, that we ought to give honor and glory to God, because for us to be gathered here, because blood was spent and life was lost. That's the reason why we are here. The subject of our discussion today is, I am here to worship and praise God. What are you here for? I'm here to worship and praise God. What are you here for? I am going to read from 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let me start from verse 6. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there to his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Edom, Obed-Edom, and all that belongs to him, because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God to the house of, from the house of Obed-Edom to the seat of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fattened sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of God, of the Lord, with shouting, with the sound of trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the seat of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping, wheeling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. When he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and a cake of raisins, so all the people departed and one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the best fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me a ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity. May your presence be felt, and may your word get to your people. May you take away humanity from me and fill me with your glory, so that the words that I'm going to speak should not come from my mindset or my thoughts, but let them come from the throne above, so that we'll be drawn closer to you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Kind of a long passage. When David became the king of Israel, he had three objectives. The first one was to conquer Jerusalem by defeating the Jebusites, so that Jerusalem will become the capital city of Israel. Then the second one was to defeat the Philistines, because the Philistines are the ones who had taken the Ark of God. And then the third one was to bring the Ark to the capital city, so that God will dwell in the capital city of Israel. So David managed to defeat the Jebusites. And then he went on to attack the Philistines when he got to chapter 4, chapter 5. He went and attacked the Jebusites and then conquered Jerusalem. And then he went and attacked the Philistines. Now, before he went to attack the Philistines, he checked with God whether he should go and attack them. And then the God of Israel responded to him and said, "You are going to hear God move over the trees. When God moves over the trees, then you should follow, because God is going to go ahead of you." Now he had to consult with God first before you take action. And for sure, God, there was some movement on top of the trees. And then David went and attacked the Philistines, and then he destroyed them, because he was following what God had done, or what he had, the instructions that he had been given by God. And now the ark of God was with another man from Israel. And after the ark was captured by the Philistines, there were problems within the Philistine camp because of the ark of the covenant. They became sick. So the ark was taken to Abinadab, the man from Israel. So it stayed there. You know, when God is present in your home, do you think there was any sickness in that house? Do you think there was any loss? Because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So God was there in that house. So now David, being the king of Israel, he had to achieve the last objective to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. This is, so what he did is, without consulting with God, they built a new oxen cart, and then they took the ark and put it in the oxen cart. And then two sons of Abinadab, and Uzzah was one of them. The other guy was leading the oxen, and the other one was just walking behind. And as the oxen were moving, maybe they hit a pothole, and then the ark was kind of falling. Then Uzzah tried to get hold of the ark so that it doesn't fall. And then God was not happy with that. Uzzah died there. And a lot of people will be like, why would God end the life of a man who is trying to help the ark not to fall? But you remember the instructions that the Israelites were given when nobody was supposed to touch the ark. And when they go to the Holy of Holies, it's only the high priest who go to the Holy of Holies only once a year. And before that person goes in there, they to sacrifice a lamb for the high priest, and then they will put a cord around the high priest, so that if the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, if he is unclean, if he dies in there, anybody who goes in there will die. So they will use that rope just to pull him, so that nobody will go in there. So nobody with unclean hands was supposed to touch the ark, because that was the presence of God. So now Uzzah with unclean hands touched the ark of the covenant and he died. So when God gives instructions, you do not create your own instructions. When God says honor the Sabbath, just keep the Sabbath holy. When God says worship and praise me, just do that. You do not create your own ways of doing it, because God is God, the creator. We've got to follow instructions from him. So that was the problem of Uzzah. So, and the other thing that we can learn from there is that you are not the one who is supposed to hold God from falling, because God does not fall. God is the one who can hold you from falling. But God cannot fall, so you cannot help God. In other words, God can always do without you. Today we are preaching this gospel. We are gathered here. Moses is not here. Is Moses here? No. But he was a great prophet of God. So, yes, you are special in the eyes of God. But God can always do without you. And he can do with you too. But his plan of salvation is not really dependent upon you. Anybody can participate, and anybody can be used by God as they allow themselves to be used. So now, as the ark was, so David was angry because the ark, because God had killed this guy, and David was afraid. So he said, okay, I'm not going to take this ark. It's going to go to somebody else. So the ark was taken to the house of Obed. And when the ark was taken to the house of Obed, then news came to David that the whole household of Obed was blessed. There was no sickness there. If they had cattle, their cattle increased. Their servants, they were in good health because of the presence of God in the house of Obed. So when David heard that, David glorified God because God had blessed the man who had taken the ark. So when God is in the neighborhood, what you got to do is give glory to the other people that are blessed. There are some other people that, when other people are blessed, some people become jealous. But you know what? When God is in the hood or in the neighborhood, it means the blessing is going also to pass through your house too. So what you've got to do is give glory to God and start celebrating. That's what David did. Because Obed was blessed by God, so David was glad. He was not jealous. So when there's good news, you need to come together with other people and celebrate. The idea of jealousy is not a godly idea. When somebody graduates, celebrate with them. When somebody gets a new job, celebrate with them. The idea of so-and-so is like this is not godly. Let us celebrate when one of us succeeds. In whatever way they succeed, as long as it is in the way of the Lord, let us celebrate with them. And that's what David did. But still here to achieve the objective of taking that ark to where it was supposed to go. So now this time, he followed the instructions that were always done. Each time when the ark was moving, it was put on pause and men will move. And here is what happened. Now, when they will move 6 steps, then David will sacrifice. He says, "Hold," then he will sacrifice an animal, giving honor and glory to God. And in my Bible, and I think if you read your Bible very well, it says the whole of Israel was worshiping and praising God because of the ark. Except only one person. David's wife, the queen of Israel, was not amongst the people that were praising God. My Bible is saying she was in the house and she looked through the window. That's when she saw David playing. Mind you, the Bible is saying the whole of Israel, women and children and men, they were celebrating the coming of the ark into Jerusalem. But the queen of Israel, David's wife, was not there. She was in the house. I don't know what she was doing there. I don't know whether she was sick. The Bible doesn't specify what she was doing. And I don't know, because this time, everybody was celebrating. Everybody was in the celebratory mood. And they were giving honor and glory to God. And then the queen of Israel was not there where other people were. You know, human beings are gregarious. They want to be with other human beings. And this time, she was not with others. Maybe the question that I have for you and for me is, when other people are praising God, what am I doing? When other people are in the presence of God, what am I doing? Am I also being together? Am I together with other people that are praising God? Or am I in my own corner and doing my own thing? I don't know whether if we were to bring in our era today, Maybe she was on the internet while others were praising God out there. She was on the internet. Maybe she was sending some Twitter messages to friends while other people were worshiping God. No, I don't know. There are some people, when they are in church, when they are in the presence of ubiquitous God, they are busy sending text messages instead of being in the presence of God. And God was not happy with that. Neither will God be happy with you being in the church of God and they are busy being on Facebook. You can use your cell phone to go into the Word of God. But at times, there are some people who be sending pictures, yet the Word of God is being proclaimed. Maybe you are just like Michael, David's wife. And the thing is, okay, while she was on the internet, or while she was doing whatever she was doing, or she was on the phone or on the cell phone, I don't know, or she was watching TV, if we are talking about our day, while other people were worshiping God. Then one other thing that happened is this: while David was dancing and praising God, then Michal, in her heart, she despised a man who was in the presence of God. Nobody saw it except God. Now, when you are in this church today, I don't know what your story is when you go home. I've come here to worship and praise God. I don't know what you came to do. Because some people, the story that they carry you home when they are coming from church is Matthew's tie was on the side and Shailene Sihe was facing this way and Marlene Smith's hair was not welcomed. Well, you did not come to see Victor Sihe or Shailene Sihe. You came here to worship God. That's why you are here. You are not here to look at what kind of a suit Matthew is wearing, because this suit is just cotton that was grown in Alabama. There's nothing really special about this suit, neither is there anything that is special about this tie. You are here just to worship God. That's why you are here. Even the shoes that you are wearing, those are just skins from animals, maybe from cattle or something, and the cattle are dead. There's nothing really special about what you are wearing. You are here because of the presence of God. So when we go home, there is no need for us to be talking about who was wearing what. Did you hear the word of God? When you ask a lot of people what was the sermon about, no. But when you ask them what was Tian wearing, they know what Tian was wearing from top to bottom. What's up with that? Children of God, are you here to see Tian's dress or Matthew's tie, or are you here to worship God? Are you like the daughter of Saul? Other people are busy worshiping God, and she is busy looking at the king of Israel who is dancing in the presence of God, and then she despises the king of Israel. What's up? Why are you here? There's time for you to be, you got a lot of time. 6 days a week, you can be sending your text messages, okay? You can be sending your Twitter, all right? You can go on Facebook for 6 days. Just 30 minutes of being here, you don't have much time with God. Oh, really? You've come to the God of Israel, the one when Uzzah touched the ark, Uzzah died. So the problem is that this woman, I don't know why she was behaving the way she was behaving. Okay, But the thing that is interesting is, you know, David is a king. Now, when you're a king, you put on kingly robes. But when David was in the act of worship, he took the robes off. Now, the Bible does not say David was naked. It's Michael who said that. Because the Bible says he was wearing an ephod, so he was dressed. But he was not in the kingly gowns. He was in the act of worship. So, in other words, when you look at that, Michael was so worried about what one has got to put when they are worshiping God. You know, when I come to worship God, even if I've got tattoos, I'm here to worship God. Don't look at my tattoos. Look at the master of the universe who died for me. When I'm here, don't look at my tie or the jeans that I'm wearing. I'm not here for the jeans. I'm here to worship God, and that's why I'm here. I've come here to worship God. Don't look at my hairstyle. No, because my hairstyle is not going to save you or send you to heaven or will be a bridge to heaven. Maybe it's going to be a distraction for you to go to heaven. Or what you got to do is look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the reason why you are here. You came here to worship God. So when we go back home, when we sit and talk, let our conversation be about the goodness of God and about what God has done, not about people's hair, about somebody who is like what. No. This world has got 5 billion people. I mean, we are not all going to be look nice. We are not all going to have nice hair, you know. Some of us are going to have bald hair. Some of us are going to have beard that you do not like. But we are all created in the image of God. And the only reason why you are here is to give honor and glory to the one who died for you. Not to come and talk about other people. Why do you want to talk about other people? And my Bible says, because God was angry with Michael, she did not have kids the rest of her life. But now, the thing is, at times, when people give honor and glory to God, it's because they are looking at what God has done in their lives. That's why David says to Michael, the reason why I'm praising God is because God chose me over your father. So in other words, when David was walking and each time he gets 6 steps, you kill an animal and honor and give glory to God. The reason is this. David was one of the children of Jesse, one of the boys of Jesse. And David was one of those maybe despised, maybe, who was just looked down upon. But when God wanted to appoint the king for Israel, he passed through all the brothers of David. And when Saul went to Jesse's house, Jesse thought maybe, you know, this other tall guy is the one who is going to be the king of Israel. But God said, no, the other one came by, and then God said, no, the other one came by. And all the other kids that the household of Jesse thought would be the king, they all passed by. And that's when Samuel said, do you have another child? He said, oh yeah. He's looking after the sheep. There's something, somebody special has come home, and you are left out there. And you are not even considered. But then God chose him. He anointed David. You know, and after the anointing, what did David do? After the anointing, David went back to look after the sheep. Do you know that? Yes, he did. He went back to look after the sheep after God had anointed him. So the guy goes to look after the sheep. And things do happen in there while he was a shepherd. And then he was called. This is after the anointing. He was called to go and play music. in the king's palace. You have been appointed to become the king of Israel. Then the king is being troubled with an evil spirit. Then you are called to go and play music for the king. And you know that you are the future king of Israel. How would you act and when you know that you are supposed to be the chief executive for this company? And then you are told to go and make tea for the chief executive who is there. The reason why God called him, he was just going there not to play music as such, but to be an apprentice, so that you will see how the king will rule and how king will do stuff. That was the reason why. But David would have said, well, I'm not going to do that because I've been appointed the king. But the man was a humble man. That's why God said he was a man who was after God's heart. He's appointed, he's anointed king, but he goes and then starts sweeping around in the king's palace and goes and makes tea for the king. And yet he is the king who is in waiting. That's David. And that's why he was dancing and worshiping God with all his might, because he knew where he came from and what God had done for him. David remembers the time he was fighting, when he fought against a lion and God helped him and gave him the strength to kill a lion. That's why each of the steps when he was moving, you sacrifice, he was giving honor and glory to God. Do you look back into your past and see what God has done and give glory to him? So there are some people that at times when you are glorifying God, they become kind of disturbed a little bit. Maybe at times they are making a lot of noise for them. At least, you know, when you are coming into the church of God, maybe you need just to have in your pocket an amen in your pocket. That when something is good is said, then you can pull out that out of your pocket an amen and say amen. And after all, you know, all this work that we are doing, we do Bible studies, right? We do singing. Jennifer, that was what beautiful music that you led into, beautiful music. A lot of work that we do on this earth, when all is over, when you go to heaven, we are not going to give Bible studies there, ladies and gentlemen. When we go to heaven, we are not going to be preaching because Jesus is there, so Matthew will not be preaching. The only people that will be having a lot of work are Jennifer and other people who lead in music and Jeremy, you know. Those are the people that will be having a lot of work. But, you know, the good thing is we'll be singing together with you because we are going to be transformed. Even when our voices do not sing okay this time, we can sing with discord. But when that time comes, we are going to worship God and praise God together in heaven. So now my question is this. Now, when you come in here and people are singing and you are just quiet, when are you going to start singing with others? Are you going to start singing in heaven or you got to start here? The Bible is an acronym for basic instructions before leaving the earth. Now, before we leave the earth, you have got to do certain things. One of the basic instructions is that you've got to sing with others. And one of the things is also that you've got to be together with other people. You've got to worship together and praise together with other people. Don't just be on your own. Don't just be on your own. Come and worship together with others. The other thing is also you got to communicate with other people. Because if you don't talk to me today, are you going to start talking to me when I'm in heaven? Now, when you talk about my hair, are you going to stop talking about my hair when you're in heaven? No, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving the earth. We got to start doing it here. Giving glory to God here. When we are here, we've come here to worship, not to come and see how so-and-so is singing and how so-and-so is. Okay, if you are good at analyzing what so-and-so is doing, what are you yourself doing? Did God call you here to come and do analysis? No, I'm just asking. Did God call you to come here to Chapel West to come and analyze other people? And then you go to heaven and then you get a certificate. Well, I was analyzing Matthew and I was analyzing so and so. No, you came here to worship and honor God. And when you worship and honor God, then blessings will come down. And you know, last year, I was in the house. I worked nights. And the twins, they were playing outside. And while they were playing outside, they came and then they knocked at the door. Then they woke me up. Then they said, "Daddy, did you hear?" Then I said, "Hear what? Did you hear? There's music outside." So I went outside. I was not very happy to go outside, but I went. Then I checked the music that they were talking about. They were very much excited. I didn't see anybody playing music, but there was anybody playing music. And then Tavani said, "No, the music is just next road." It was the ice cream truck. He heard the ice cream truck on the next road, and he knew that ice cream is in the neighborhood. So he came and woke me up so that I can help them get ice cream. But the thing is, when he heard the music, he knew that ice cream was in the neighborhood. And you know what? When you know that God is in the neighborhood, give glory and praise him. And call other people and say, "Hey, there's good music here." Because ice cream is in the neighborhood. God is in the neighborhood. When you hear the sounds of what is happening now, I would like you to go and tell others that God is in the neighborhood. He is about to come. Soon and very soon, our Lord is going to come. That's the good news. When David heard about the good news that the other guy had been blessed, he glorified God. So you need to glorify God. And also, don't keep this the message to yourself. Tell others, there's good news in the neighborhood. I can hear the sound of the trumpet almost blowing. Because when I hear the gay agenda going on in Indiana, and when I hear the U.S. government giving sanctions to the country of Uganda because of the gay agenda, to me, that's music that Jesus is coming again. When Pastor Steve sends a message that the government in Jordan is saying the Adventist church has got to be banned, that's music that Jesus is around the corner. It's no time to sit in my house and look through the window and see what Tyan is doing. It's time for me to get up and join the people of God and do work together with them. For Jesus is just around the corner. He's just about to come. It's not time for me to talk about people's hair. It's not time for me to talk about what other people do. It's about what I can do for this God who died for me, for this God who has got so great love that you will leave heaven, come down here to die for me. He did not come here so that you can come and talk about other people, but talk about him coming. That's the good news that is there. That's the message that is there. I have come here to worship and praise God. What have you come here to do? That's the message. And what you've got, when you are going to go home, you got to ask yourself a question. What did I learn today? What message did I learn? Not about who was wearing what, who had how many tattoos, whose hair was like what. No, we are here to worship God, and I've come here to worship God. He is an awesome God. He is a God who wants to be with the people. He is a God who is omnipresent. He is a God who cares for you and for me. And finally, David says to the Israelites, you need to test God and see, and test and see how sweet he is. Maybe I got a grape here. Can you tell me how this grape tastes? I'm eating it right now. Can you tell me how it tastes? I'm eating another one. Nani, can you tell me how this grape tastes? Why? Because they are not eating it. The reason why you cannot taste it is because you are not eating it. At times you can complain about God or about people who are worshiping God or who are so excited about God. It's because you have not tasted God. When you taste God, because by the way, this grape that I'm eating is very sweet. Very sweet. But the only way you can taste the sweetness is when you eat it. So taste God and then you glorify him. And you will not complain about other people. You will always be happy to be in his presence. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.